What is truth? There seems to be an endless pursuit of truth in our world. People want to get down to the bottom of things and want to know what the truth is. But maybe you have heard a more modern expression that people use when they talk about your truth or my truth. And they start talking about something that essentially is an opinion, but they have shifted that to call it a truth. Which now, if you get into a discussion with them, it's kind of hard to argue because it's their truth or your truth. That shift of meaning has been actually quite critical in our society, and yet, even though there are many that take their opinions and make them truth, there still is a demand for things that are absolutely true. If you go to the grocery store, and there you're checking out your groceries, and you get all done, and you pay the cashier, and she shorts you 25 cents, the truth is you want that quarter. You're probably going to ask for it. You're probably going to say, hey, see my receipt? See the change you gave me? It's rather insignificant, but you want the truth and you want your change. Now, obviously, in much bigger things, we demand the truth. You go to a courtroom, you have a major trial with huge implications, and we want the witnesses to tell the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. We want truth. There is still such a thing as absolute truth. Even still in our day and age, even when people are all about their opinions being truth. This age-old question this evening takes us into the praetorium with Pontius Pilate. And he asks that question. What is truth? We see the author of truth on trial and speaks about what truth is, what the absolute truth is, and who he is. You have the text there printed on page 5 of your service folder from John chapter 18. Pilate went back into the praetorium and summoned Jesus. He asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered him, "Am I a Jew? Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus replied, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." "You are a king then?" Pilate asked. Jesus answered, "I am, as you say, a king. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." "What is truth?" Pilate said to him. After he said this, he went out again to the Jews and told them, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But you have a custom that I release one prisoner to you at the Passover. So do you want me to release the king of the Jews for you?" Then they shouted back, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a rebel. The word of our Lord. This scene that you have here with Pilate seeking truth is really kind of the opposite of what we might expect. It really should be Pilate on trial before the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Pilate had committed numerous atrocities against the Jews. He had slaughtered Jews at the temple. He had crushed rebellions with brutality. He should be the one answering for his crimes. But instead, there is Jesus, the author of truth, truth embodied there on trial with this accusation of being a king. This accusation was pretty important for Pilate's life. Pilate had had some run-ins with the Jews over his career there, And this whole uprising again of if Jesus was a king, this would be a threat to the Caesar. And if he wasn't a king, well, it's just another fanatic rising up in Jerusalem that was going to cause problems. So either which way, Pilate saw this as problematic. But he is the highest court really here in Judea, and he's the one tasked with getting to the truth in this trial. And so he starts probing questions for Jesus. Are you a king? You can hear kind of the banter in Jesus' voice. Right? Was that your question, Pilate? Where did you come up with this on your own? And you can also hear the frustration in Pilate. Right? Look, this wasn't my idea. Look, it was your people that handed you over to me. What have you done? And then Jesus gets into it and he says, yes, I am a king. But my kingdom is not of this world. If it was, my servants would fight for me. And then he gets to the very heart of the matter, right? Truth. I came into this world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. What's Pilate's response? You can just hear the anger and the scoffing of this. What is truth? And storms out probably. Because he still never got to the answer to this question. He still never came to a decision as a judge about what was true in this case. Is this guy the king of the Jews? This must have hurt Jesus. As he is speaking truth to Pilate exactly who he is, what he came to do, his entire ministry there is summed up in truth of who he is. And Pilate rejects it. Pilate wants nothing to do with it. Pilate is the one who should have got to the matter of this, and he doesn't even listen to the truth either. Right? He acknowledges there's nothing against this guy, but still not willing to stand up for the truth in his court. And then you can imagine all the other hurt that Jesus felt through this. His disciples had just recently abandoned him. The ones that said they would stand by his side no matter what, even to death. And they had run away scared. You've got the chief priests and the elders, the whole Sanhedrin, those that were in the word and should have been most excited to see Jesus, the Messiah, the promised one. And they're the ones making the accusations. They're the one wanting him dead. And probably the same crowds that had witness miracles, that had proclaimed him on Palm Sunday as the Savior, the Son of David. And now they're going to shout right after this, crucify him, crucify him. Right? How the truth of this scenario hurt Jesus. That they did not want to listen to the truth. He says, everyone on the side of truth, who belongs to the truth, listens to my voice. And none of these people were listening to Jesus' voice. And still today, we don't listen to Jesus' voice. Now you might say, look, I'm on the side of truth. I'm here in worship on a Wednesday to hear the truth of God's word. But what about when you walk out the doors? Right? That whisper of Satan in your ear, his temptation to get angry, to get frustrated, to get mad at people for simple little things that if it was you doing that, you'd want to be forgiven and want it excused, but you're not going to forgive the person that does it to you. The world will come at you with its lures. And you want to be like them? You want to be like your neighbor? Right? Their life looks like so much fun. They enjoy their weekends out, partying. Wouldn't it be great to be like that? Or sometimes it's even the shouts coming at you, blaring at you right in your face, whether it's on TV or the internet, and the lustful images you see causing you to sin. And instead of listening to the truth, instead of being obedient to that truth, you fail. You sin. You give in so easily and sometimes so willingly to sin. And instead of listening to Jesus' voice, instead of obeying the truth, you listen to a different voice. You listen to that own sinful voice within you. And you fail Jesus. You let him down like all of those around him. And yet the truth is, Jesus knew this. Jesus knew that everyone would abandon him. Jesus knew that this was going to happen because that was the plan of God 4,000 years in the making. That he would send his son to save us, to save the entire world, that this trial had already been planned out long ago, that Jesus would stand there like a criminal, be accused, be condemned, and yes, go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. That was the truth that had been planned out from the very beginning. And here we see it coming to fulfillment, that the very author of truth dies, really, based on lies, to give you truth of salvation and eternity. He calls us to listen to his voice. In an uncertain world, in a world filled with their truths and their opinions, you still have the absolute truth and assurance and hope that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, that his journey to the cross was exactly as God wanted, to take your sins away and to guarantee your life with him in heaven forever. That is truth. Even if it's not proclaimed in other churches, even if it's jumbled up in our world, the truth remains that. The truth found in God's word, that Jesus loves you, that he has loved the world, that he has saved it. He is the king. Yes, he was king of the Jews, and he is your king, and he's your savior, just as God planned, just as he wanted. So when you hear that question, what is truth? You know it. You've heard it. You believe it. That Jesus is the truth. And everyone on the side of truth listens to his voice that says he loves you, his voice that says he forgives you, his voice that says you are mine and you are mine forever. Amen.